in making its decisions. The government shouldn't do so with an eye toward helping one religious sect or another. It should be neutral. And it shouldn't muck about in the affairs of the religious realm.
Former Attorney General Bill Barr speaking at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Their brand of secularism is really about destroying and subsuming the religious sphere altogether. And that's what I say. The threat today is not that religious people are out to establish a theocracy in the United States. It is that militant secularists are trying to establish an atheocracy.
You can watch and listen to a recording of Bill Barr making the case against the progressive assault on the U.S. Constitution from this year's Making the Case conference. It's available in both video and audio formats for a tax-deductible contribution of $300. Learn more at issuesetc.org. It is remarkable the degree to which this Supreme Court decision handed down almost 50 years ago, Roe v. Wade, has shaped American politics, law, the Supreme Court, all sorts of institutions. But remarkable even more is the degree to which it's shaped the way women think about themselves. There are people who will, with a straight face, tell you now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned, that women are not full citizens, that they've had a fundamental right taken away from them, that they cannot succeed without abortion, that they're not fully human without abortion. These are the kind of arguments that are being made. Well, why are they making those arguments? It's because that's what Roe taught them. That's what Roe told them, that women need abortion to succeed in America. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about the lies of Roe v. Wade, Erin Hawley. She's senior counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom, served on the Mississippi legal team that defended the state's Gestational Age Act at the U.S. Supreme Court, and she's co-author of a column for The Federalist titled Roe v. Wade Did Not Empower Women, It Lied to Them. Erin, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
I got to know, since both you and your husband were making news yesterday, what was dinner like at the Hawley household last night? Was there any conversation about your House Oversight Committee testimony or your husband, Senator Josh Hawley's exchange with UC Berkeley law professor during the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings?
You know, actually, we try to have dinner together as a family, which includes our 20-month-old daughter and 7- and 9-year-old boys. So our discussion mostly centered around a screaming child, the littlest, and then asking the boys about vacation Bible school in the morning. So we didn't get a lot of substantive talk. But yeah, very proud of Josh and his work.
Many are saying that the U.S. Supreme Court's Dobbs ruling that overruled Roe weakens the rights of women. How do you respond to that?
I disagree with that. I think that Roe versus Wade and Casey and other cases really paint an unflattering and untrue picture of women. The Roe decision, which was written or joined, I should say, by 7 male justices on the Supreme Court, said that motherhood, quote, forced upon women a bleak and distressful future. And that's just not who we are or what we do as mothers.
How did Roe take the law regarding abortion away from the democratic branches of our state governments?
Roe was an egregious abuse of the judicial process. It was an exercise in raw judicial power. And at the time Roe was decided in 1973, it overturned the pro-life laws of nearly every single state. So the citizens of the state, the people of the state, had decided that they wanted to protect life. And in one fell swoop, the Supreme Court overturned each and every one of those pro-life laws.
You say that Roe was as wrong about motherhood as it was about the Constitution. What do you mean by that?
Well, again, the picture that Roe points of women and of motherhood is really a demeaning one. Women and mothers are strong and capable, and there's a lot of evidence showing that while abortion has thankfully declined since Roe versus Wade, women's success has continued. Women today, I think there's more women in law school than men. There's more women in college than men. We as women are more represented in the national and state legislatures than ever before. And women have continued to advance by leaps and bounds, by making the choice to stay home and raise their children, by contributing to the workplace, or by doing some combination of that, all without needing abortion. And again, this is shown because as abortion has declined, thankfully, women's ability to succeed has just continued.
Many believe that women cannot flourish without abortion. It used to be unstated. Now it's being openly stated that women are being held back without abortion. What does that say about women?
Again, I just think that's an untrue picture of both women and of motherhood. There was a great brief, an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief, filed by 240 women scholars and professionals in the Dobbs case. And what this brief explained was that women are fully capable of both being mothers and leading happy, fulfilling lives. And countless women have shown this. And again, women are strong and capable. And there's no question that being a mom or being a parent can be difficult, especially for single moms who have a lot more on their plate than people with a two-parent household or more resources. But the reality is that moms across the country will attest that motherhood is worth it, and that being a mom enlarges and expands and brings so much joy to their life that it is in no sense a burden, but rather a blessing.
Would most women choose motherhood over abortion if they thought they could?
This is such a good point, especially as we see pregnancy care centers today under vicious assault. As some of your listeners have no doubt seen, there has been legislation at the federal level attempting to shut down pregnancy care centers. And these centers are the places where women who need some extra help come when facing an unexpected pregnancy. They provide diapers and formula and car seats and counseling and medical care, fatherhood training, job training, educational opportunities, all free of cost. And the reality is these centers are so crucial because we know from surveys that 75% of women who have had abortions say they would have chosen to parent if there would have been another option. Pregnancy care centers are providing this other option that 75% of women who've had abortions say they need and want. And yet the pro-abortion advocates on the left want to shut them down. It is just astounding.
What other lies did Roe tell American women?
You know, there's really so many. If you look at that opinion, it is an opinion that has been roundly criticized by those both on the right as well as on the left. Justice Ginsburg famously criticized Roe versus Wade. John Hart Ely, who was a famous law professor, said that Roe wasn't constitutional law at all and barely gave any sense of an obligation to try to be. And in one specific lie that Roe told American women is that it called their unborn children, quote, potential life. And there's no question now, as we look at scientific evidence, if you look at non-ideological scientific journals, life begins at conception. That is a scientific fact. And the reality is that with 50 years of scientific advancement, we know so much about a baby's development. We know at 15 weeks, when the Mississippi Gestational Age Act applied, that a baby can move her fingers and toes, she can hiccup, she can move in the womb and stretch, and she can quite likely feel pain. And it is just wholly inaccurate to say, as the Roe majority did, that this life is merely potential.
Some say that without Roe, women will be treated as less than fully human beings. What would you say to that?
It's hard to hear that statement and imagine it, and it is said with a straight face, but it's hard to see how it can be said with a straight face, because the reality is that pro-abortion advocates are declining to recognize the unborn life within a woman, many of them themselves female lives, and treating them as nothing more than an object. So it is the pro-life movement that seeks to affirm the value, inherent dignity, and worth of each and every woman, both born and unborn.
You mentioned Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The late justice said that Roe was physician-centered. What did she mean by that?
You know, this is one part of the Roe opinion that is really astounding. And in a really sort of patriarchal passage that the pro-abortion left would rather forget, Roe gave to a woman's doctor the authority to choose abortion, not to the woman. That opinion stated that the attending physician, in consultation with his patient, the woman, is free to determine without regulation by the state that in his medical judgment, the patient's pregnancy should be terminated. So this was really the money line from Roe, that the physician could determine to terminate a pregnancy. Justice Ginsburg noted that this was physician-centered, and the picture she got from Roe was sort of the picture of a tall doctor and the little woman needing his help and support.
What do you make of the bodily autonomy argument for abortion?
We heard an awful lot of this argument that women should have complete autonomy to do with their body what they will at yesterday's hearing. And the question really becomes, what happens when there is a third party involved? Again, to reference Justice Ginsburg, she was clear and she said that your right to swing your arm when it hits someone else's nose. And the reality is that bodily autonomy does not give us the freedom or authority to do whatever we want with our body, to assault someone or to murder someone or to steal from someone. And all of this is especially true when we are talking about the most vulnerable and tiny humans among us. Bodily autonomy does not give the right for the purposeful destruction of an unborn life.
How did Roe tell a woman that her child is, in essence, her enemy?
Oh, this is such a sad picture we get from Roe. And a woman's womb, a woman's arms, both of these things, a mother's arms, a mother's womb, should be the safest place for a baby. And the abortion industry really pits a woman against her child. It tells her that her child is the enemy. In order to succeed and flourish in life, she must destroy this other life within her. And as we see from countless women across the country, this is just an untrue story of motherhood. Motherhood enriches and enlarges one's life. It brings so many benefits and blessings. And, of course, we have to realize that finding out of an unexpected pregnancy can be really overwhelming to some women. It can be scary. And in those circumstances, there are resources like pregnancy care centers and churches and communities to come alongside women. There's also adoption laws. And since Roe, every state and the District of Columbia has what are called safe haven adoption laws. So for women who are just not ready to parent yet, they are allowed to put their children up for adoption, no questions asked. And at any point in time, there are over 1 million adoptive families eagerly waiting to adopt those children. There really just is no such thing as an unwanted child.
Finally, how does Dobbs finally give women an opportunity to have a say in abortion policy?
This is such an overlooked area of the Supreme Court's opinion in Dobbs. It is an untruth to say that the Dobbs decision outlawed abortion. To the contrary, Dobbs is a very judicially modest decision that returns the authority finally to make these decisions. It returns to the states the ability to protect life and also to empower women. So it returns to each of these states the ability for democratic debate and discussion. And additionally, if we look at Mississippi, 55% of voters in Mississippi are women. The Dobbs decision gives those women a voice and a vote, and it allows them a say in the abortion policies of their state.
Erin Hawley is senior counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom. She served on the Mississippi legal team defending the state's Gestational Age Act at the U.S. Supreme Court. And she's author of a column for The Federalist titled, Roe v. Wade Did Not Empower Women, It Lied to Them. You can read it and learn more about the Alliance Defending Freedom at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Erin, thanks.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Folks, to support local pro-life efforts, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will offer $1 million in matching grants to LCMS congregations starting in 2022. Learn more about the million-dollar match at lcms.org/life, lcms.org/life. When we come back, Dr. Jordan Cooper joins us. We're going to spend some time with him talking about the loss of transcendence, truth, goodness, beauty, and the decline of the West.
I have been criminally charged for voicing my deeply held beliefs that are based on classical Christianity.
Finnish lawmaker Dr. Pavi Rossinen, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
If this kind of questioning of free speech is possible in a country like Finland, which has a long roots in Christian culture and values and good reputation regarding free speech internationally, the same could be possible anywhere.
You can watch and listen to Dr. Pavi Rossinen making the case for Christians in the public square from the 2022 Making the Case conference. For a $300 gift by Labor Day, you can access an on-demand video stream or podcast of the entire conference. Order today at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministries sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.